Today's Shir in the Daf Yomi is the very last daf in this beautiful Masechta of Nedarim, Daf Tzadi Aleph. We're beginning 8 lines from the Taf Tzadi Aleph, Omud Aleph, with the words Yiboilu. They ask the following Shaila in the base Medrash. Yiboilu, Omra Levala Gerash Tani. If a woman says to her husband, you divorced me. As the Ran points out in Dibur HaMaschul, Yiboilu, second line, V'niskara HaGet, the get had been ripped up, Osh of it, or was lost, and therefore the Gemara is asking the question, Mahu lahamina ulahatir linase? Is she believed that she's allowed to go and marry somebody else? Or does she need a new get? Or does the husband say, no, I didn't divorce you, and we're still living together, husband and wife? Tosus adds, the following is the question. Mi amrinan, do we say, the mehemna, we believe her, and therefore she's allowed to get married to somebody else right now, doesn't need anything else? Or dilma, are we concerned, maybe, that she saw another person that she'd rather be married with, her husband's not going to be willing to give her a divorce, so she just says, I'm divorced, then she'll go off and marry that other person. That's the question that they answer the base man, Shiboilhu. Amr lebala gerash tani mahu, what is the law? What's the halacha? So Amr Rav Hamnuna, we'll have a machlokes over here between Rav Hamnuna and Rava. Rav Hamnuna says, Toshma, bring your right from the following Mishnah. Our Mishnah that we just learned yesterday. Ha'omeres temeyani loch. If a woman says to her husband, Nebuch, I was assaulted, I was raped, and we were dealing there with her husband being a Kohen, and therefore even if she was totally involuntarily assaulted, she had nothing to do with it, didn't want it in any way, shape, or form, it's still also for her to live with her husband. So in that situation, we said, Ha'omeres temeyani loch. If a woman says to her Kohen husband, Nebuch, I was assaulted, we said dafilu lemishna achrona. We said originally the Mishnah Rishona was that she's believed and that the husband has to divorce her ksuba. Then we said subsequently the Mishnah Achrona that we were concerned that maybe Shema no say now biacher, that she saw somebody else that she'd rather be married to, and that's why she's making the story up. We have the right to be choshesh for that. And we said dafilu lemishna achrona diktani lo mehemna, even though we said in the Mishnah Achrona that we don't believe her and the husband is allowed to stay married with her. We explained all of that yesterday, Shir. Nevertheless, Hossam, who, the Mishakra, only in that situation where we're concerned that she's lying, we have no independent evidence that she was or she wasn't assaulted, and therefore we have to be concerned, Shema Noah say now, Biacher, that maybe she saw somebody else that she'd rather be married to, and therefore she's lying, because Diodo de Bala lo Yodaba, she knows for a fact that her husband has no idea, was she or was she not assaulted, as the Ran explains. Her husband has no way of knowing him, Zinsa, him lab. Did she get assaulted? Was she Mazana or was she not? Therefore, she's able to lie with impunity. She's not at all concerned she can get caught in the lie. She's just stating, I was assaulted. There's no proof, and it's impossible to disprove that she was assaulted. So therefore, she's not afraid of being caught in the trap, of being caught in a lie. Ella, in our situation, Avogabi Gerashtani, here in this situation, Rav Hamnuna says, the woman has to be facing her husband and saying, you divorced me. The husband certainly knows, either I divorced or I didn't, and therefore she's basically making a big lie. If she's in fact lying, she's doing that right in front of him and totally going against what is the truth, and he knows it. And therefore, in this situation, Rav Hamnuna says we believe her mehemna, because there's no way a woman would be such a chutzpahness that she would go and lie that way in front of her husband. The mehemna, we believe her, the chazaka, we have a strong chazaka. It's pretty much you can take it to the bank. Nobody would have the chutzpah to go and lie directly to her husband in that situation. And therefore, Rav Hamnuna says, even though in the case, the Mishnah Achrona, in the case of where she said, Temani Loch, we don't believe her, in the case of Gerash Tani, we do believe her. Because there's no way she should be so chutzpahdik to go and lie directly to her husband when the husband knows that she's lying. On the other hand, Rava disagrees. Only Rava says, Adirab, the exact opposite svara could be had. Even Afilu Lamishna Rishona, even according to the first version of this din, the Ketani Mehemna, that we'd said if the woman claims she was assaulted, according to the Mishnah Rishona, we said we do believe her because she's embarrassing herself. So the reason why we believe that there was Hasam Yishum Delo Avida Levazuya Nafsha, because there's no way she would embarrass herself in such a way if it wasn't true. A woman doesn't want to claim that she was assaulted. That's a pagam on her. And therefore, in this situation, we believe it because no woman would want to embarrass herself unless it was never true. But in the case of Gerash Tani, Avalacha, the Zimnim, the Takif Law Min Gavra, sometimes she gets into a fight with her husband. That's the way the Ran understands it. The Takif Law Min Gavra, the Ran says, Shaideh Kasa, because she gets into a fight with him, she gets angry with him, Tischazek Min Abal, she strengthens herself, Lahoiz Ponimbo, to go and be chutzpahdik to him and say, Veloma Lo Gerash Tani, even though it's not true. So even though the A woman normally wouldn't do this. If they get into a fight, she might do this. The zimnin, the tokif lon min gavra, and therefore me'iza or me'iza, and she would in fact lie. So therefore, Rava says, we don't believe this lady that she would never lie in front of her husband. We say, no, push comes to shove, she might lie in front of her husband. The Mefarish is an interesting additional idea, and he says, indeed, Ramasu the zimnin the tokif, and he says, Shitzia lo bala, her husband caused her pain and suffering, u'me'iza panel bifanav, and therefore she wants to get out of this marriage, he's causing her pain, so she will go and lie to his face. Alternately, in Inacher, the tokif lo min gavra, shetokef yitzara min adam acher. When it says tokif lo min gavra, it doesn't mean her husband. It means that there's another guy that she's fallen in love with. She has an infatuation with this other guy, and that's going to give her the strength. Shenos nabo einel. She wants to marry this other guy. Ubi shvilo. Because of this other guy, she's going to do something that under normal circumstances we wouldn't expect. Me'iza lo ma'labalo girishtani. And she would have the chutzpah to go and lie to her husband and say, yes, you divorced me, even though he did not. And therefore, Rava has the exact opposite answer as Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna says that we believe the woman when she says Gerash Tani, and Rava says, no, we don't believe her. Rav Amnuna says, no way she would be so me'iza panea bifnei bala, to say something that's not true. Whereas Rava says, absolutely, either because the husband got her so mad, or because this other lover has gotten her so infatuated that she's going to be willing to lie, even though her husband knows it's a lie, and she'll lie right to his face. So this is Machlokas, Rav Amnuna and Rava. We're now going to bring an attempt to disprove Rava, and then we're going to bring a similar attempt to disprove Rav Hamnuna. So we start off trying to slug up Rava. Also, Rav Misharsha says the following. He says, when the woman claims, Hashamayim beini levincha, when the woman claims that he's not yorek kechetz, that the husband is impotent, that the husband can't have relations with her, can't impregnate her. So in this situation, the Mishnah Rishona, the psak of the Mishnah Rishona, that we believe the woman in that situation, and the husband is forced to give her a divorce and to pay a ksuba. So Rav Misharsha says that din is tiyufta de Rava. That should disprove Rava. Why is that? Because in this situation, in the Mishnah Rishona, where she says, Hashemayim b'nila b'incha, hacha, the less like kisufa, there's no kisufa, there's no embarrassment for her to say that. The embarrassment of anything is on her husband. She's an innocent bystander. Listen, she says, my husband, unfortunately, isn't capable of impregnating me. So the embarrassment is on her husband. It's not on her. And yet, uktani mehemna, and yet we believe her, even though there is no embarrassment. So therefore, that slugs up Rabba, who said that Adarabba, he had answered, I feel the Mishnah Rishonah, the uktani mehemna, that we believe the woman in the first situation, that she said she was assaulted. That's because in a situation where she would be embarrassed, only there do we believe her. Implication being that in the case where she's not embarrassed, we wouldn't believe her. And yet here you see, in the second case of the Mishnah, even though there's no embarrassment, we do believe her. So that's how Rav Misharsha wants to slug up Rava. However, Rava would respond as follows. Rava would answer back, and he would say, in the situation when a woman says, Hashemayim b'ni levincha, it is also embarrassing. Kivan the lo sagila, the lo omra, eino yorek yechetz, since she's essentially saying that her husband is incapable of impregnating her because the zera doesn't come into her like an arrow. In other words, there is a description over here of their intimate relations. So that's something that's very embarrassing. If it wasn't for the fact that that must be true, she would never be so willing to go and admit that. It's an embarrassing thing. So therefore, Rava is consistent. He says, we only believe her in a situation where there's tremendous embarrassment. Either that she says she was assaulted in the Mishnah Rishona, or in the Mishnah Rishona, which she says that lo yorek echeitz, his zera doesn't come into her in a strong way. And therefore, only in a situation where there's embarrassment do we believe the woman. But in a situation where there's no embarrassment for her to say to her husband, Gerash Tani, so we don't believe the woman. So Rava is not shlugged up. Now we'll try to shlug up Rav Hamnuna. When we said in the Mishnah Achrona, Shamayim beni levincha, the Mishnah Achrona, when the woman claims that you're not Yorek Kechetz, we said in the Mishnah Achrona, we don't believe her, so that should be shlugging up Rav Hamnuna. Tevi tiyuv to the Rav Hamnuna. Why is that? Because, v'ha, hacha, the yodohi ubala yodaba. In a situation where both she and her husband know, does he or does he not have the capability of getting her pregnant? So we want to suggest that in this situation, both of them are aware of this, and yet, uktani delo mehemna, we don't believe her. In this situation, we allow the husband to live with her, and we don't respond, or we ignore the wife's taina that he's not yorek echeitz. So here, both of them know whether he's yorek echeitz or not, and the woman clearly is willing to be me'iza to her husband, and to say, listen, you are really Yorei Kechetz, but I'm willing to say to your face, no, you're not Yorei Kechetz. And we see that we don't believe her. So too, Rav Amnuna, how can you say that the woman would never be Me'iz Ponel, and therefore we should believe her? We see that we do, in the Mishnah Achrona, see that she is Me'iz Bifonov, and yet we don't believe her. So therefore, Kasha and Rav Amnuna. So again, Rav Amnuna would respond as follows. Kisav Rav Amnuna, Rav Amnuna holds, no, Hochanami. It's not a case of Me'iza when she says you're not Yorei Kechetz, because she only is the one that knows whether it's really coming into her Yorei Kechetz. The husband really doesn't know. Hochanami, he gufa amra, she's saying, Nihi debevio yoda. Yes, he knows, did he or did he not have relations with me? However, Yorei Kechetz, he can't know that. Only I, the recipient, can know that. Yorei Kechetz, mi yoda. And therefore, she's not Me'iza bifonav. And therefore, Mishum Hochi, Mishakwa. Therefore, she would be willing to lie because there's no Me'iza bifonav. He doesn't really know. And therefore, that's why in the Mishnah Achrona we say that we believe the husband, we don't believe the wife. But in a case where he definitely knows, such as he knows he didn't divorce her, and she claims he did divorce me, there's no way she would be Me'iza bifonav unless it were true. And therefore, Rav Nuna says there's a difference between the case of Yorei Kechetz, where the husband doesn't really know for sure, and the case of Gerash Tani, where the husband absolutely knows for sure. And that's why the two results are different. In the Mishnah Achrona, we don't believe the woman because there is no Me'iza bifanav. Whereas in the case of Gerash Tani, we believe the woman because of the idea that there's no way she would be Me'iza bifanav if, in fact, he had not divorced her. Okay, so we don't shlug up Rav Amnuna, we didn't shlug up Rava, and we go weiter. Hi Itza, there once was a woman, a Maisa Shahoya. The Kol Yomah de Tashmish, every time she had relations with her husband, when we would get up the next morning, Mikdama, she would get up earlier than him, and Masha Yodei Legaba, and she would go and wash his hands in the morning. There's a certain tumah that rests upon a person after they had relations, so she was a very wonderful woman, and she would go and wash her husband's hands in the morning. She would get up early and bring him the Negavasa to go and wash his hands. And the Ran adds over here in Hayisa, he says, Aishas Kohen Haisa, she was a Kohen's wife, her husband was a Kohen, because if this case was talking about an Aishas Yisrael, so then this, again, wouldn't be an adultery situation. As we'll see in a moment, this would be a case of onus. In any event, one morning, she goes and brings him the water to wash his hands. Yom Echad, Asulei Mayo Lemimsha, she had had relations the night before, thinking it was with him, and she goes and brings him the water. The next day, washes his hands. And he says, wait, what are you doing over here? We didn't have relations last night. Amala, Hoda Milsa, Lohada Soidna. Why are you bringing me water? We didn't have relations last night. And she says, uh-oh, I did have relations with somebody last night. Amalei, she says, there's a problem here now. M. Kane, if you're telling me you didn't have relations with me last night, I thought I was having relations with you last night. It must have been Chad Min Nochrim, return to Tzadi Aleph of Days, the last daf in this beautiful Masechta. Ahaloi, it must have been one of the Goyim who goes and sells oil. Oil is a type of perfume, as the Ran explains, Nochrim Mochre Ohel. Ohel is a type of besamim, the Mefarish says, Mokri Ahalos besamim, and therefore, when one of these people came around, he must have seen that you weren't home, and he made believe he was you in the dark room. I wasn't able to tell the difference, and the Habu Hocho Idna, he was here yesterday, I must have had relations with him. If you're telling me, I ain't the lo, so if you're telling me I didn't have relations with you, so Dumo Minhon, I must have had relations with one of these people, and therefore, since you are a Kohen, and even though I was totally involuntary, I thought it was my husband. I certainly didn't have any intention to commit zinus. I thought it was you. So therefore, I'm not allowed to live with you. So do we or do we not believe her in this situation? After all, it certainly sounds like she has a very good taina. She doesn't seem to be wanting to commit adultery. She came to her husband the following morning to wash hands. She's certainly being very open about this. She isn't on the surface looking to try to trick us. But Rav Nachman says no. Amr Rav Nachman, Einah Nos Nabiyach. It must be that she saw eyes on somebody else, and she concocted this plan to come into her husband and say, oh, we had relations. I said, oh, we didn't. Oh, I'm so sorry. I can't live with you anymore. And then he'll have to divorce her, and she'll go ahead and marry the other guy that she has set her eyes upon. And therefore, we don't believe it. Rav Nachman says, the lesba mishasha b'mila. And there's no mishasha. There's no substance to what she said. We don't have to believe her. Similarly, the Gemara tells another story. How Yitzah, another woman, the lo hava bedicha daita bahadi gabra. She wasn't happy with her husband at that point in time. Bedicha is like a joke, a lighthearted mood. So she was a little bit upset with her husband. And he says to her, hey, honey, how come? We normally get along so great. Amala, huyidna maishta, why are you upset with me? I can tell there's something off. Why are you upset with me? So Amalei, she said to him, because me olam, never before, when we had relations, was it so painful? Lo tzarton b'derech eretz kio idna. When we had relations last night, it was extremely painful. So therefore, I'm a little bit upset. I don't know what you did. You were harder, you were rougher, and it was very painful to me, and therefore I'm a little bit upset. He says, oh, wait a second, what are you talking about? We didn't have relations last night. Amalah, lo habahad milso ha'idna. What are you talking about? We didn't have relations last night, so what are you talking about? Why are you mad at me? So Amalah, she says, Im Kane, if you're telling me I didn't have relations with you, well, I had relations with somebody last night. Halei nachrim naftoi. In this situation, it was Nachum that was selling naft. Mochrei naft, the Ran and the Mefarish say, a certain type of material. They were selling naft, and it must have been the Habu Hochu Idna, that one of them saw that you weren't here and made believe he was you, and I had relations with him. That's why it was so painful, so rough. It was not somebody who I was used to being with, and he was not you. And therefore, unfortunately now, Aunt Lo, if you're telling me you didn't have relations with me, Nebuch Dilmo Chad Min Hod, it must have been one of those men. And again, we're dealing here with the husband is a Kohen. So if the husband had been Yisrael, so then this is an Ones. After all, she thought it was a husband. So certainly not Zanus, and she'd be allowed to still live with a husband. We're dealing here with the husband is a Kohen, and she therefore tells him, what should I do? I now have to get divorced from you. So how do we paskin here? So Amalu Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says in this situation as well, Lo Tashkichun Ba, don't listen to her. No senes, say no, be acher haboy. Even though everything sounds very plausible here, she seems to be very innocent, and she says, oh, here, I'm a little bit upset with you, and why? Yes, and he tells her why, and it sounds very innocent, and it sounds very real. He says, no, we don't listen to her. She must have had her eyes on someone else. No senes, say no, be acher haboy, and therefore that's why she concocted this very brilliant scheme, and therefore, in either the first case or the second case, we don't listen to the woman. She perhaps had our eyes on somebody else, and therefore the husband's still allowed to live with her. Another maisa, how gabra, the once was a man, dabe miharzik bebesa, who the intisa. The once was a man who was maharzik bebesa. The Ran explains, shahaya nechba im oso isha, he hid himself away with this woman in this house. She was a married woman. And what happens? The husband comes home. All also mare de besa. Her husband, the master of the house, comes home. And what did the noef do, this potential adulterer, what did he do? Parte noef luhutz of yorak. He jumps out through a wall of palm trees. And explains he broke through paratz mechitza through a wall shel hutza v'dafna, these palm fronds and thistles. So he breaks away. He runs away from the house. Instead of staying hidden, he runs away from the house. Parte noef luhutz of arak. He runs away. So in this situation, do we or do we not say that she had relations with a husband? Here we're not talking about a Kohen husband. This would be true for Yisrael. She seems to be Mizana intentionally. The Noef, the potential adulterer, ran away. So in this situation, she's not allowed to live with a husband. Do we or do we not say that? So Amar Rava, Rava says, no, it's Sashaya. This woman is still permitted to her husband. Why is that? Because Rava holds, in Isa de Avad Isura, if in fact they had committed adultery, Rahman al-Islam, if this adulterer had actually committed adultery with the Ashes Ish, so then he wouldn't have run away. Irkusei hafamirkas. He would have hidden himself. As the Ran says, shahaya machbi atzmo. He would have hidden himself away. Kazosha yira kolona. So nobody would see his embarrassment. Everybody sees his running away. They say, hey, that adulterer, that guy will ruin his reputation for all time. So therefore, he would have just hidden himself away and would have snuck out at some point in time when the husband wasn't looking. The fact that he ran away meant that he hadn't yet committed any Aveira, and therefore the woman is still permitted to her husband. That's what Rava's opinion is. And finally, the last story is how Noef, there once was such an adulterer, a potential adulterer, the Olagabe Dahi Insa, that went into the house of a married woman and was alone with her, and also Gabra, then the husband comes home. And what does his adulterer do? Here he did hide away, as we just pointed out before, that the normal thing, so to say, normal is the wrong word, the probable thing that the adulterer would do was he would hide himself in a closet. He'd hide himself behind some sort of a partition and then sneak away when the husband's not looking. So that's what happened over here. There was this Noef that was in the house of this married woman. The husband comes home, and Solik Noef, he slid behind Esiv Bekile Bava, and he hid himself behind a certain type of a curtain. The Ran explains, Bekile Bava means Bimasach, with a curtain, Shilfnei Adelis, that's in front of the door. So therefore, he tried to hide himself. Now, behold, the Itzrichi, the Ran says, what do we need, Lahani Taimi, over here? Lav Lameimah, the Belav Hachi, isn't it because if we didn't have this entire story that we're about to say is sasira. We would say that the woman is in fact asura, that she in fact committed adultery. The lesser she ain't aisha nesera sabala ella bikinu v'stira. Now it can't be that we asura as a sota because there was no kinu and stira over here. Or oh ba'ade davaboru. Or if we have witnesses or some clear cut evidence that she in fact had relations. Ella di lav mishum hani tame. If it wasn't for the reasons that we're about to say, hayoroi b'chayotzei b'zeh l'chol bal nefesh lochush liatzmo kidei lotzei sidei shemayim. If it wasn't for this reason that we're about to give, the husband wouldn't be allowed to go live with his wife. Now, back to our story. The potential adulterer is hiding behind some curtain in the house. The husband's home by himself. We don't know where wife is. In any event, have a machson tachle tamon. The husband sees that there is some tachle. Tachle is always translated as cress, some sort of food over there, tamon in that room over there. Vitaminun chivya. But unfortunately, a snake had eaten from that cress and had ingested poison into that cress, and it would be fatal if anybody ate that cress. Now, the adulterer had seen this, but the husband had not seen this. So boy, Mari de Beso, so the husband, the master of the house, wants to go and eat some grass. He's hungry. He comes up from there at work. He wants to eat something. So boy, Mari de Beso, lemecha, minhanu tachle. So he wants to go and eat some of this grass, but he doesn't know. Below daito, the insa, his wife's not there to tell him, hey, a snake had eaten that during the daytime. Don't eat that. Why she left it there, I don't know. In any event, Amalei Ha'unof, the Noef, who's standing behind the curtain, sees that the husband is about to eat this poisonous cress and will die, and he says from behind the curtain, Lo techal min hom de taminun chivya, don't eat from that cress because a snake had eaten from it and it put its poison into that, and therefore you're going to die if you eat that. Now, he obviously gave up his concealed position. He now identifies that he's in the house. So in this situation, the husband now knows that his wife had a man in the house with her. Does he or does he not have to be worried that she, in fact, had committed adultery and therefore he wouldn't be able to live with his wife anymore? So how do we paskin? Omar Rav, Rav says, no, into say Sharia. His wife is still permitted to him. Why is that? Because in Isay the Avad Isura, if in fact this potential adulterer had, in fact, committed adultery with the man's wife, so then, Nichale de Lechav Lemos. So why in the world would this adulterer have spoken up and told the husband, hey, don't eat that cress, you're going to die if you eat it? He should have said, Gesunte, hey, die. Eat the cress, die, and I'll have an open field. I'll have a perfectly permissible opportunity to go marry the widow, because now she'll be a widow and Heter Gomer. And this is based upon the pasuk that we have from Yecheskel, where it says, Dechsiv, ki ne'efu, just like they committed adultery, v'don b'dayin, and they have blood on their hands. In other words, an adulterer would only be too happy to allow the husband to die. He certainly wouldn't do something to save the husband's life if, in fact, he had committed adultery with the woman. So therefore, in this situation, Rava says he can take it to the bank. The man didn't commit adultery with the Eishes Ish, and the husband is still allowed to live with his wife. That's what Rava said. Gemara says, pshita. Obviously, isn't this so obvious? Why does Rava have to tell it to us? After all, if the adulterer sees the husband's about to eat poison, he should be saying yashakayach. You know, he should be saying, great, now my opposition is out of the way. The rival to this woman that I'm in love with is out of the way. So, pshita, what's Rava's chiddush? So the answer is, Gemara says, big chiddush. Ma'al d'tema, I might have said that isura ova, yes, in fact, the man did commit adultery with the woman. But guess what? Why did he speak up and tell the husband that, listen, there's poison in that cress, don't eat it or you'll die, is because he wanted the woman to be a married woman, because it was much more exciting and much more pleasurable to have this hidden relationship with a married woman than to actually go out and marry her. The nihole, the lole musbal. Rava's concern was that you might have thought that it would actually be preferable for this adulterer to not have the husband die, that to have a intersay that she should remain ilave, his wife, to this man, because of the great statement that we make from Mishlei, that mayim genuvim, stolen waters, yimtaku, are very, very sweet. Lechem sisarim, and bread that is hidden away, is also yinom, is very, very pleasant. And therefore, Rava had said, you might have had the svara to say, no, he only spoke up to maintain this woman's status as an Eishes Ish, so it's much more enjoyable, the hidden and secretive going to get together with this woman, all the planning and all the concoctions that they have to do, that makes their relationship exciting. And he actually did commit adultery, but he wants the husband to stay alive. That's what you might have thought. Therefore, Robert tells us, no, Kamash Bulan, that that's not the answer. The answer is no. If he really had committed adultery, he would have let the husband eat the poison. There's no way he wouldn't have stopped him. For the fact that he stopped him, it must be that he didn't commit adultery, and the woman is permitted to her husband. With this, we conclude the 11th perek and the entire Masechta of the Nedarim. Hadron Alecha of Eilu Nedarim, Hadron Alecha of Eilu Nedarim, Hadron Alecha of Eilu Nedarim, Usliq Alam Masechta Nedarim, and Sliq Alam Masechta Nedarim, Usliq Alam Masechta Nedarim. We, Mirtz Hashem, will come back to you, hopefully before the next Dav Yomi cycle, but Mirtz Hashem, we look forward to learning this wonderful Masechta over and over again in the Dav Yomi cycle and even without. I hope everybody has enjoyed this Masechta. Mirtz Hashem, we start a tremendous new Masechta tomorrow. Nazir, look forward to joining with you to learn that Masechta. Invite friends to join us online as well. And Mirtz Hashem, everybody should have a wonderful day and make a big siyum with your family to honor this beautiful Masechta's completion. Have a great day.